grace and peace of the Lord be with you all. Amen. Dear friends and fellow redeemed in Christ, what will you do with Jesus Christ? This is a paraphrasing of the rhetorical question of Pontius Pilate, the governor of Judea, during Jesus' ministry, suffering, and death. This also, that timid man asked, what shall I do with the man who you call the King of the Jews? In an age like ours, when pluralism or plurality receives such a wide attention both in religious and cultural realms, the question of the uniqueness of Jesus Christ occupies the top level of our concern and interest. The identity of Jesus determines the nature of Christianity, and what we do with him decides our personal relationship with him. It is Christ who makes the Christian theology unique and universal. In fact, Christian theology is Christocentric, insofar as no doctrine can be called Christian at all if it bears no significant connection with the definitive revelation of God in the person of Jesus the Christ. The centrality of Christ is not limited to a particular part of theology. Christ is central in a Christian theological interpretation of nature, history, and existence. Even our knowledge of God is finally determined by the way in which God is revealed in the person of Jesus. The entire ministry of Jesus was theocentric. The work of the Father was Christocentric. Christian faith looks to the apostolic witness of Jesus Christ as the final criterion of the truth concerning the nature and identity of God. Such an important and vital teaching of Christocentricity in theology, however, has come frequently under attack, or many people pass or assess it carelessly. In fact, it is not new. It was in the early days of the New Testament Christianity, as well as in our own generation. In a somewhat similar manner, it is illustrated in Mark chapter 15, how did the people do with Jesus Christ? After briefly viewing them at first, and then ask ourselves, what will you and I do with Jesus in a more personal way? There are four profiles of men in Mark 15 who reacted vis-a-vis Jesus Christ. Ignore him, ridicule him, demythologize him, and crucify him. The first disciples ignore him. Pontius Pilate was indeed uncomfortable with Jesus, and the accusations of the mob against Jesus, and yet, for his personal expediency sake, ignored him, and let the people do what they want to do. An irresponsible attitude and coward act as the top leader. He was skeptical about the whole matter. First of all, the identity of Jesus and the reason of the excited crowd against him. There are many such skeptics today with I don't care attitude and I don't know okay. The second type is ridiculism. The soldiers made mockery of Jesus. They put a photo up on him, then twisted together a crown of thorns and set it on him, and they began to call out to him, "Hail, King of the Jews." Then falling on their knees, they paid homage to him. And when they had mocked him, they took off the purple robe and put his own clothes on him. Then they led him out to crucify him. These are some of similar types of people today as modern atheistic existentialists, being passionate but being cynical. Third type is that we mythologize. The chief priests and teachers of the law mocked him by saying, "He has saved others, but he cannot save himself. Let this house, the King of Israel, come down now from the cross, that we may see him and believe." Innumerable investigation committees of the critical historians and the task forces of the critical biblical theologians have been trying to demythologize him and put him on a mere human plane. The fourth and the final type is crucifying. There are then the ignorant mass who is deeply led by momentary feeling and the sorrow of the instigator, and takes lawlessness instead of law, fight instead of peace, hatred and violence instead of law. They are, in one sense, naive victims. Now they try to crucify him, and next moment they may fail him. Having said about others, what will you do with Jesus Christ? Naturally, none of us would like to identify ourselves with the skeptics, mockers, humanists, and senseless man. We may sum up answering this vital question to us by using the familiar words of Dr. Luther in his small catechism. We should fear him, love him, and trust in him above all things. Fear, not in the sense of terror, but in the sense of awe in the presence of God, and in true reverence of the Lord. One of the important lessons that modern men and women ought to learn is to revere the Lord as the highest. Honor him with your lives and avoid what displeases him. Maybe this is a very unpopular and very difficult task in an open, free, and individualistic society. In our immediate context, seminary, we may say the need for the theology with Christian ethics. Secondly, we are to love Christ our Lord above all things, when with our whole heart we cling to him as to our God, and gladly devote our lives to his service. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. Thirdly, we are to trust him above all things. With our whole heart, we submit our lives to him and rely upon him for help in every need. Let us remember, Christology is not a mere scientific, theoretical discipline which can appropriately proceed apart from the discipleship of faith, trust, and that Christian life. We interpreted these in our situation as ministerial students and theologians. It means proclaiming the work of his salvation, the gospel of Jesus Christ, living a Christ-pleasing life as his humble servant, and doing the work of him, the mission of the church. To this end, we are called to consult your family. Now may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep and preserve you in the true faith unto life eternal. Amen.